Welcome to another edition of Giants Rewind, brought to you by New York Presbyterian Hospital here on MSG. I'm Bob Pop. Over the next half hour, we'll take a look back at the Giants' win against the Minnesota Vikings, 23-7. And joining me, a member of the Super Bowl 42 champion New York Giants, Mr. Sean O'Hara. Sean, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bob. Extremely happy after a win, of course.
Yeah, that's what we bring in after the wins. Yes. Let's talk about the opening drive of the game for the Giants. It's a 17-play methodical drive that starts off with a run in there for Michael Cox. And the Giants really seem to be in a very manageable third down situation. A lot of third and threes, third and fours.
Yeah, which is actually pretty rare for this team this season. You and I have discussed before about the third and longs they continue to find themselves in. But for that first drive, I thought it was just really a statement for the New York Giants to say, listen, we are going to control this game. And they controlled it from the get-go. Bob, coming into this game, they were 31st in the NFL in time of possession, only averaging 24 minutes of possession time a game. So big first drive for them to get points on the board.
But it's sort of typical, though, of this Giants season. They got things going well, and then on a third and three at the 16, Manning misses Akeem Nicks on a ball over the top.
Yeah, you know, it just seemed like they were just out of sync. You know, just the throw was a hair too long, and it didn't look like Akeem Nicks could really get two hands on the football. That was kind of going to be end up being a theme of the night. And I think we would come to expect better connections, better chemistry out of Akeem Nicks and Eli because they have had such a great connection in the past.
All right, so the Giants take a 3-0 lead. Minnesota gets the ball back. They pick up one first down. They punt it away. But the Giants are starting at their own 17. They get a big 10-yard play to John Connor. They get a first down, but then the Giants have to punt the football away. And once again, special teams a problem for Big Blue.
Steve Weatherford is in for the Giants. Sets it, gets it away. High, far side, outside the numbers. Fielded at the 13 by Sherrills. Accelerates up the right sideline. He's got room. He's got a convoy. Can Weatherford get him to the ground? Runs to the right sideline. Cuts back to his right. To the 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Sherrills. 87-yard return.
So Marcus Sherrills goes 86 yards for a touchdown. Now, Sean, you ask your punter, high, outside the numbers, near the boundary. Weatherford did everything right. What happened here?
Yeah, Steve Weatherford's having a great season. He's really he's booting the ball extremely well. And basically what it was, Bob, they lost contain on the edge. You cannot let the sideline, the returner, run up your sideline. You have to have a force defender to force him back into the meat of your protection, all of the guys that we talk about in the trail technique. So for the Giants, they just basically let him run right up the sideline, and then he got to Steve Weatherford, and that was it.
All right, so at the end of the first quarter, the Giants had the ball for 12 minutes and 36 seconds, but they found themselves on the short end of a 7-3 score. We'll tell you about the second quarter as we return to Giants Rewind here on MSG after this. Welcome back to Giants Rewind, presented by New York Presbyterian Hospital. We start the second quarter, Giants trailing the Vikings 7-3. Giants have to punt the football away. Minnesota gets it back. Giant defense does a nice job of three and out, so the Giants start on their own 18-yard line. And if you can't run the ball, Sean, effectively, you can use a short passing game. And on first down, Eli Manning finds John Connor for 7 yards, which creates a manageable second and three situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's first down efficiency is something that has plagued the Giants all season long. So the fact that you can ask John Connor to lead block and then you can also rely on him in the passing game, that's just another opportunity for Eli to get into second and third and shorts.
All right, so on a third and three, Eli Manning hooks up with Victor Cruz for a 12-yard pass. So now the Giants are going. They get an 11-yard pass again to Victor Cruz, another first down. So the Giants have it first and 10 at the Minnesota 24, trying to regain the lead.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall. Jump right over the defender, Chris Cook. It's 24 yards, and the Giants are back in front. Reuben Randall's fourth touchdown catch of the season.
A little underthrown ball. He had to go up over the defender to make the catch, so I kind of saw a glimpse of it, kind of, you know, between some defensive linemen and linemen, but yeah, I know that's something he can do. He can go up and make some plays, and sometimes that's what you need from your receivers, to go up and make a play for you at times. And that was a big, you know, big touchdown right there.
Nice job, man. Nice job, man.
Yeah. Can you get in?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep it up.
Well, Sean, sometimes you got to win the 50-50 ball, and that's what Reuben Randle did there. Wasn't the greatest throw, but he made a better play than the defender.
Yeah, Bob, it wasn't a great throw because of the pressure that was in Eli's face, and he wasn't able to complete the throw. But, you know, I think Eli will admit to it. He underthrew that. But a great job of Reuben Randle adjusting to the ball in the air. You know, typically, this like you said, a 50-50 ball, this ball could have very well been intercepted, but Reuben Randle did a great job. He's no doubt making up for his plays.
So the Giants have the lead at 10-7 at this point. Minnesota gets the ball. They drive it downfield, and then they wind up trying a really long field goal, a 53-yarder that comes up short. But the Giants don't do anything with the good field position. Nix drops a slant on first down, and that seemed to sort of discombobulate the entire offense.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting how this offense, sometimes one bad play can just completely deflate the offense. And we've seen them, after a missed field goal, like you said, also after turnovers, not be able to turn those into points. Those are big momentum swinging plays for both the offense and as well as the rest of the team.
So neither team able to capitalize any opportunities. So they go to the locker room, and the Giants in a rare position with the lead at the half, 10-7. We'll tell you about the third quarter when we return to Giants Rewind here on MSG after this. Welcome back to Giants Rewind, presented by New York Presbyterian Hospital here on MSG. We start the third quarter. Giants lead the Vikings 10-7. Now, the Giants have not done a very good job this year starting third quarters, offensively or defensively. Minnesota had won the coin toss, and they deferred to the second half. So they start out the third quarter with the ball, and the Giants do a really good job. They hold them to a three and out and a punt, but again, a mistake by the Giants special teams.
Lock boots it. Good high climbing punt near sideline. Ball came loose. It's on the ground. Reuben Randle on a punt return has just fumbled it along the near sideline.
Sean, when you're not winning games, that's just a no-no by Reuben Randle, having the ball in his left arm as opposed to his right arm and allowing it to come free.
Yeah, absolutely. When he caught the football, he should have known, I'm going to run this ball up the sideline. I've got to put the ball in my right hand for two reasons, Bob. Number one, it allows you to shield that ball from the defender. But also, number two, if in fact you do fumble the ball, if it's in your right hand, it just goes out of bounds and it's not recovered.
All right, so it's second and two at the Giants' 23-yard line. Can the Giant defense get a stop? That sets us up for our New York Presbyterian Hospital amazing play of the game.
Play fake, Freeman back to throw, under pressure, heaves it downfield, intercepted by Rowe at the 5, runs left to the 15, cuts right back to the 20, looking for a block up to the 30, chased by Jennings, and dragged down there.
I thought we played pretty good. You know, it's funny, you know, it's never as good as you think it is, it's never as bad as you think it is. We'll watch the film tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of corrections, but to hold that team to 0 points on defense and, you know, who I think is the best back in the league to 28 yards, that's a good start. And we had a lot of pressure on the quarterback tonight. It didn't show up in sacks, but I think we had double-digit quarterback hits, and, you know, he was under pressure all night. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I think we can continue to build on. Our secondary played well. They got a couple turnovers. They got a turnover and just had, you know, tight coverage all night, and hopefully it's something that, you know, you see a lot more often around here.
2-6. Hey, great 2-6. They like coming three. That's how you feel. Great play. That's how you feel. Good job, baby. That's how you feel. Great. One
handle. That's a New York Presbyterian Hospital amazing play of the game. Amazing things happening here. Let's first start about the Antrell Roll component of this. That's a brilliant play that he made one-handed.
Unbelievable play. As you mentioned, he drops the easy one and then catches the hard one. For him to do that one-handed, and then really, he makes a great return, and he shows his athleticism, the opportunity. I mean, I thought he was going to score, but Greg Jennings, you know, he hawked him from behind. But it's a great play. That was a big momentum swing for this team.
Yeah, obviously a huge play. And the other component to this was the pressure by Sean Rogers, who had 4 quarterback hits in the game.
Yeah, Sean Rogers, I mean, he made a living in the backfield and in Josh Freeman's lap. I think Josh Freeman wondered if he owed him money at the end of the game.
Good line. No momentum, though, for the Giants offensively. They go 3 and out. The Vikings get the ball. They go 3 and out. Giants get the ball back. and they're not really able to get anything going either offensively. So the Giants have a 3rd and 10. Now, remember the name Marcus Sherrills, because he's the guy that had the punt return, but he has a huge hand in the next two plays that go in the Giants' favor.
Manning back to throw. Feels pressure. Throws one left. Nearly intercepted. It was late. And Sherrills nearly had a pick, and it could have been a pick six. Weatherford to punt. Good high climbing punt near sideline. Sherrills fields it at the 11. Gets past Diassi. Ball came loose. It's on the ground. Diassi dives on it. Well, Sherrills has had a star-crossed night. He had a 86-yard punt return for a touchdown. He just dropped a pick six. And then on the punt return, he just coughed it up as he went to the ground untouched.
Well, before we get to the fumble, let's go back to the dropped interception. You know, in previous weeks, that thing's going the other way. And that was probably the only bad read that Eli had or bad decision he had all game.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. It was a bad decision. It was a bad throw. But the ball was bouncing the Giants' way last night. And that's really, you can look at that play specifically because, like you mentioned, that's a pick six burger going the other way. Matt Schaub is the only guy that should be throwing those type of throws, and Eli got away with one right there.
And then Sherrills doesn't get contacted. Good hustle by the Giants, and good hustle by Zach Diassi to react to the ball that Herzlick bats and go recover it, you know, inside the five.
Yeah, Zach Diassi, he's all hustle, and he does a great job, makes a big play for the team.
All right, so the Giants are set up 1st and goal at the 3, trying to widen their lead. After a run of 2 yards, it's 2nd and goal at the 1 when the newest Giant gets in the act.
2nd and goal at the 1. Hand off Hillis, who runs left, stood up at the line, and then falls in for the touchdown. So Peyton Hillis, signed by the Giants this week, plows into the end zone for a touchdown, and the Giants widen their lead to 16-7, extra point pending.
I thought Peyton played really well, and you know, coming in here a week's notice, and you know, did a good job just understanding protections, you know, blocking guys when he had to, getting out in the routes, you know, a couple big you know, completions, third down conversions, just throwing him check downs. So did a great job knowing when to get out, chipping at times, and ran the ball hard. So he's going to be a help for us. He's an athletic, you know, big, strong athletic running back. It does, you know, will be good on third down. So it was good to get him, and I think he'll be good for us down the road.
Way to go, Ron. Way to go, Ben. Way to go, John.
Really good physical running by Peyton Hillis. Good lead block by John Connor. Kevin Booth and Cordell also did a nice job in creating that lane for Hillis to get into the end zone.
Yeah, when you double team a defensive tackle, offensive lineman know if you can put the defensive lineman in the linebacker's lap, you're going to score down on the goal line. And Jim Cordell did a great job of filling in for David Boss, who got injured again, and Kevin Booth as well. He did a great job up front and putting that ball in the end zone.
So now the Giant lead is 2 scores. It's 17-7. Minnesota gets the ball back. Now they get a little momentum going offensively. There's a big 12-yard pass here to Greg Jennings, and the Vikings are threatening. You know, obviously, just down 2 scores, 10 points, and plenty of time to go in the game. There's still 6.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Minnesota trying to convert a third down when the Giants' defense gets a huge play.
Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Chased and sacked by Tuck. At the 32-yard line, Justin Tuck gets his 2nd sack of the season, only the 6th by the Giants all year.
I saw that.
I'm celebration needs to work. Hey, man, I ain't made no plays to perfect my celebration. I just wanted to be hype at that point in time.
If he goes in here, anywhere here, I don't worry about
it. This is a huge play in the game because with Minnesota down 2 scores, this knocks them out of field goal range because the ball got pushed to the 35. They had already missed a 53, 54-yarder. They elect to punt. Talk me through the sack a little bit.
Well, the sack was really created. Mathias Kiwanuka got great pressure off of the left tackle, Khalil, and Freeman actually felt that pressure and kind of it flushed him right into Justin Tuck, who was more than happy and willing to get credited with that sack. And, you know, it's funny to watch Justin get a sack there, because I'm going to tease him when I see him, because it looked like he forgot his sack dance that had been so long. He kind of just jumped around and celebrated and then forgot to do his little bow.
Well, he did do a bow to the crowd finally as he gets the sack, his second of the season. So Minnesota punts the ball into the end zone for a touchback, and the Giants start to get a little drive going. A big third and 10 pass to Brandon Myers keeps the drive alive. The final play of the third quarter, the Giants facing a third and 12 at the Minnesota 39, and Peyton Hillis makes a really nice second effort play after catching the ball in the left flat, spinning away from a defender, and getting the first down for the Giants. So the Giants are on the move at the end of the third quarter, in front of the Vikings, 17-7. We'll tell you about the fourth quarter when we return to Giants Rewind after this. Welcome back to Giants Rewind, presented by New York Presbyterian Hospital here on MSG. We start the fourth quarter, and the Giants lead the Vikings 17-7, and the Giants have possession. First play of the first quarter, it's a Hillis one-yard run, then an incomplete pass, and then a big third and nine play to Peyton Hillis as Manning finds him in the flat, and Hillis does extra effort to get the first down.
Yeah, Bob, I mean, this is basically just a check down, and Eli is just playing it safe, saying, I don't want to create a turnover, checks it down to Peyton Hillis, and he shows everybody why he was on the cover of Madden as he spins off a defender and then bulls his way to the first down.
The Giants settle for a field goal, which still keeps this at a two-possession game. It's 20-7. Well, we talked about the punt return that the Giants gave up for a score. We talked about the fact that they got a turnover on the Vikings punt return. The Giants make another play on special teams.
Brown with a pooch kick this time, fielded by one of the up men, and he fumbles the football, and he shouldn't have fielded it, and Jaquan Williams has it for the Giants, and he's tackled at the 18-yard line.
You know, obviously, we needed to get one on the board, and you know, I told Jerry Reese a while ago, I think we have a shovel in our hands now to start digging our way out this hole. So, you know, hopefully tonight is something we can build on. Still a long way to climb out this hole, but you know, this is a good start for us, and hopefully something that we can get the ball rolling.
Sean, the mortar kick was really a result from the third quarter when Cordarrelle Patterson nearly returned a kickoff for a touchdown. Roll saved a touchdown, and when you see a guy with a 9 on the front of his jersey as the first number and a guy with a 3 as the first number, the 9 probably shouldn't field it.
Yeah, as a defensive guy, you know, the one thing that you look at if you're a special teams coach and Tom Quinn, you say, if you have a defensive lineman back there, we're going to try to kick him the football because of that reason. You want him to catch it and then possibly fumble it or fumble the catch altogether. I played on the kickoff return team as a young player in the NFL, and I was a wedge captain. It was my job to set that. And one thing we always said, you never back up to catch a kickoff like that. And if the ball is right there, let it go through if you can to the guys that are supposed to be handling the football. And Sharif Floyd, you know, made a costly mistake for his team.
All right. The Giants, though, aren't able to deliver sort of that knockout score. They settle for a field goal, so it remains a two-possession game. It's 23-7, but Minnesota's passing offense just inept throughout the course of the night, and they never really threaten to score the rest of the way. So the final score, the Giants 23, the Vikings 7. After the game, a very happy Giants locker room.
Outstanding job. Outstanding win for our team. A battle, no doubt. We knew it would be. Defensive, great job.
Great job.
Offensively, knocked it down there, got the ball in the end zone. Outstanding job. Special teams did a great job with our mortar kicks and those kind of things. The reinforcement is good. The development of the confidence is what we need. Now, obviously, we have a short week, and then we're playing in the division on Sunday.
Follow that schedule.
All right, let's roll this up now. Let's get some of these wins going together. Let's win. Let's go to Philly and win next week and get this thing going on the bye week.
Yes, sir.
Well, let's have a team. 1, 2, 3.
Team.
Good job,
buddy.
Sean, obviously a relief for this group. I mean, this is a team that I think in their worst kind of thought process would be 3-4 right now as opposed to 1-6. But this team didn't fall apart. You've been around in the building. They seem very positive for a team that hadn't won a game yet.
Yeah, very impressed with the way this team has bonded in tough times. And, you know, Tom Coughlin has a saying, tough people make tough times better. And I think Tom Coughlin is the reason why this team has stuck together. And they found a camaraderie, even though they're not winning football games. Certainly elated to have that monkey off their back, get that first win. And Tom Coughlin talked about it. It's great to have that taste in your mouth, that sweet nectar victory, especially on a short week now coming up against a divisional opponent. But I will say, after watching this film, I'm sure everybody in this locker room says, we got away with a victory against a team that's not very good. We cannot continue to let opportunities like that slip through our fingers. Specifically the red zone, they were 1-for-4 in that Bob, and I think they know they have to do a better job going forward against the Eagles.
Sean, great stuff, a lot of fun.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Sean O'Hara joining us here on the program, and that wraps it up for this week's show. Make sure you join us each and every week right here on MSG. Next week we'll recap the Giants and Eagles. You've been watching Giants Rewind, presented by New York Presbyterian Hospital.
Looking for Giants tickets? Visit NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster, the official resale marketplace where fans buy and sell Giants tickets.